T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Today I'm here to say we are not backing down on our effort to determine the citizenship status of the United States population. I stand before you to outline new steps my administration is taking to ensure that citizenship is counted so that we know how many citizens we have in the United States.
That's President Trump yesterday in the Rose Garden. He is signing an executive order in order to put the citizenship question on the 2020 census. We all thought he was going to, but that's not exactly what's going to happen. We're joined by Margaret Brennan from CBS's Face the Nation this morning here on WCCO. She'll be hosting this coming Sunday morning. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
So it was kind of a switch from what many of us thought was going to happen, that there would be an executive order to put the citizenship question on the 2020 census, and he's basically let that go.
That's right. The president retreated from that vow. Instead, he said yesterday in the Rose Garden that he would sign an executive order requiring federal agencies to give the Commerce Department any kind of record, essentially, that they ask for on the number of citizens and non-citizens in the country, essentially saying, well, we could have done it this way in the first place, but not clear exactly how it would operate or what it's for. The president says, though, the entire argument about putting on the census had to do with being more accurate in headcount to understand how to allocate resources for healthcare, but also because of drawing up districts for voting purposes. So what he said yesterday seemed to underscore the fears and the suspicions of many who said this entire fight was truly about, as his opponents have charged, gerrymandering, essentially asking a question that might cause fear among some immigrants to answer honestly, thus skewing the numbers in a way that undercounts Democrats and is in Republican favor. So this was the sort of theory of the case yesterday when the president mentioned that the results would have been used for districting, that seemed to indicate that maybe those suspicions may have been based on something real there. But the bottom line is the president retreated from this. The Supreme Court also told him his legal basis was not sound.
Has there ever been a citizenship question on the census?
Yes, multiple times, but just not in decades. Going back to, I believe, the 1950s, there had been citizenship questions. One of the debates recently was, if you put that on, are people actually going to answer honestly about not just themselves, but whoever is living in their household? Thus, you know, the argument that it would be more accurate to include it was countered with, no, it would cause an undercount because people won't be honest about whether perhaps there's a family member in their house who has questionable legal status, et cetera. So essentially, the president, by reversing this decision, acknowledged they can get the information he needed anyhow in a different way. So this just once again adds fuel to the fire and the suspicion around questions of immigration and this extreme nationalism or national identity in the country.
Interesting for many of us here in that same address from the Rose Garden, he took a time to point out an ongoing argument that is happening in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, with the city council. I don't know if you were tuned into that or not, but about the Pledge of Allegiance that was a part of that whole speech.
I had not been tracking that story out there.
He began tweeting about it yesterday morning, as a matter of fact. It caught his attention. Hey, let's talk about a couple of other things coming up here. On Sunday, you're going to be visiting with Senator Dick Durbin, who is the, as well as Representative Adam Schiff and NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine. So what's the topics going to be? What's the focus on Sunday morning?
Well, we will be tackling some of these big immigration questions. The vice president's going down to the border to tour some of those facilities that a U.S. government investigator said were incredibly overcrowded in a way that was not up to the law and not healthy for the women and children being held in many of these facilities. So that will certainly kick up some conversation. Dick Durbin is not only one of the very top Democrats in the Senate, but he's one of the few really working on some kind of bipartisan attempt to draw up new forms of immigration law. He's been working with Senator Lindsey Graham. And so, as the White House says, that's kind of the only game in town right now in terms of Congress with Democrats and Republicans trying to craft a deal. We'll talk to him about that. As you mentioned, Adam Schiff will be on to preview Special Counsel Robert Mueller's testimony. That long-awaited testimony is expected on the 17th next week. And the NASA administrator, can you believe it's the 50-year anniversary of the Apollo 11 launch?
Yes, I mean, I can believe it because I watched it, Margaret. But yes, yeah, I do believe it. It is just incredible. And at that time, it was such a I think a rush to get to the moon, and it everything came together.
It's an incredible period of time. Doug Brinkley, the historian, will also be on the program. He wrote a great book called The American Moonshot, really focusing on how everything came together over many, many years, but in particular, John F. Kennedy's role in shepherding, despite all the naysayers. His own father said, "This is a waste of government money. Jack, I taught you better. What are you doing here?" But to talk about this, not just as a way to look back at the launch, and CBS and Walter Cronkite were a huge part of explaining that story to America, but also asking the question of, can we rally together again and do something like this, a moonshot for cancer, a moonshot for something, in a way that brings people together in a positive way. And at a time when we're so incredibly divided. So we'll talk about some of that with the NASA administrator and also with Doug Brinkley.
And when you think about that speech where President Kennedy made that pledge to, you know, have a man on the moon by the end of the decade, the fact that I think it had only been a couple of weeks prior to that that we had our first man in space, I believe. I think that was Alan Shepard at the time. And it was just so that was quite a leap to be able to make that pledge, that claim, that goal, set that aim up, Margaret, at the time.
Absolutely. And it worked out in the end, but it certainly couldn't have in another scenario, right? And Jack Kennedy faced a lot of criticism saying, look, you're pumping billions into this risky prospect. You could be pumping it into poverty programs to alleviate some of the pressure in this country. You could be pumping it into other things. He had pressure on both sides from Democrats and Republicans. What are you doing? And he never got to actually see that landing on the moon, but it was President Johnson who really upheld President Kennedy's legacy to try to wrap it around the space program and say, when you're cutting funding, you can't cut this. This is JFK's legacy. It has to go through. It ultimately did. It was successful. And CBS is going to be taking a look at all of this over the course of the week. Amazing, incredible footage from the CBS archives about those moments and Walter Cronkite really explaining it to the world, documentaries that inspired JFK himself. So
I look forward to watching that. Coming up this Sunday morning at 9:30 for us here on WCCO Television, Channel 4. So we'll watch Margaret Brennan and Face the Nation. You have a great week. Dave Lee will be back with you next week, I believe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.